The Jam Factory Girls by Mary Wood, read by Julie Maisie. Chapter 1. Elsie, October 1910. At the unearthly hour of 6 a.m., when Elsie had to rise, the stars were still twinkling, and the night air still bit, making it difficult to shift herself. Turning over, she tried to ignore the scratching on the window. Shivering and with her belly rumbling, she tucked the old coat, the only covering she had, around her body, but it didn't help. Her brother Cecil, 1 year younger than her at 17, lying next to her, grumbled incoherently about the disturbance as he threw off the threadbare counterpane he'd been snuggled under and climbed out.
"I'll let the knocker-up man know we're awake, Else," she muttered a sleepy. "Ta, love, I'll be up in a mo'."
When the window opened, the shout came in.
6 o'clock, and the wind's enough to cut you in two, Cecil.
Ta, Mr. Munster."
They couldn't afford to pay Mr. Munster, but he made sure they were awake anyway, because he knew no one else would. And if Elsie was late at the jam factory, she'd lose her job to any one of the women who stood outside the factory gates, hoping to get set on. With just 2 weeks to go before Swift's jam factory closed at the end of October, until Christmas, when the oranges from Spain would arrive and the marmalade making would begin, Elsie needed the 6 shillings she could earn in a week and wanted to be sure of being set on when the factory opened again. Cecil needed to be on the Surrey Dockside early too, to see if he could get taken on by one of the costermongers. Sometimes he got lucky and was given a day's work and could earn a few bob, depending on what the stall made that day. At other times he only got a couple of hours helping to set up one of the market stalls and brought home a farthing, a couple of pounds of potatoes or something of that nature. "Come on, Else, it ain't so bad once you brave the cold," she grinned as she looked up at Cecil. "So it's all right that you're shivering then, is it?"
I fibbed. "Look, I'll nip through and see to setting the fire going. That wood me and Jimmy collected around the docks last night will be dried out by now."
Elsie nodded and looked over to her mum's bed in the corner of the room.
"I see mum's in then. I would have thought the stench would have told you that."
Cecil wouldn't mean this in a nasty way, but his joke did cause Elsie to take in the smell of alcohol and fags, something she should be used to, but which always turned her stomach. Flapping her hand in front of her nose, she gently prodded her other two brothers with her foot. Having just one bedroom in their ground floor, two-roomed home, plus a scullery and a lav, one of 40 similar flats in the tenement block on Long Lane in Bermondsey, meant that Elsie and her three brothers had to top and tail in the sagging old bed. But they were luckier than most, as some similar flats had 9 or 10 living in them.
"Jimmy, Bert, come on, you've got to get dressed now and keep the noise down while you do so as mum's asleep."
Bert, always as bright as a button the moment he awoke, shot up into a sitting position and grinned at her. He'd been a joy in Elsie's life since his birth 4 years ago. She'd taken care of him even then, seeing to his feeds during the night and making sure he was kept clean and warm. But Jimmy, poor Jimmy, he'd been the worry of her life, always ailing. At 8 years old, he wasn't half the size he should be. His hacking cough as he woke up went right through her, and Elsie sent up the prayer she always did, asking God to make her brother well.
"You didn't get much rest then, Jimmy?"
He shook his head and rubbed his crusted eyes.
"I'm sorry for you, Jimmy. I don't want to send you out today, but you know as another lad will take your round off you if you have too many days off."
Jimmy sat up. Bert jumped on him and cuddled him tightly around the neck.
"Get off, Bert!"
"Shh!" Pain creased Elsie's stomach as she swung her legs off the bed and stood up, but she tried to ignore it. Eager to help Jimmy, she took a piece of cotton cloth from the hoard she had under her pillow. Often, when on cleaning duty, she'd slip the bit of rag she'd used into her pocket and then boil it when she got home.
"Use that for a hanky, Jimmy."
"Ta, sis."
"I'll try to take you to see Dr. Stanley when I'm laid off. He's a good bloke and don't charge the likes of us."